December 8, 1901, circa, begins on page 3. As I did, and held me in uncertainty 3 weeks, but after 2 and 3 telegrams, I came to the decision it was best for me to go, and if I could endure the ride in the cars, where there is not sufficient air and the cars heated, I might venture even to the state of Maine. It costs something for me to travel. I have, with my secretary, a drawing room in the Pullman sleeping car. Our people will not consent for me to travel in any other way. The presidents of conferences have thus decided I have the privilege, as a missionary, with my secretary, to go on reduced fare. W.C. White, my son, met me in Chicago and came with me to New York. The weather was quite mild. 700 Sabbath keepers, and a few, not of our faith, assembled on the Sabbath. I have never met a more refined and intelligent-looking people, but few had ever met me before, and they were prepared to meet me heartily and gladly. I was taken in a cab to the meeting, which was only a short distance, but they had their way. They said my strength should not be taxed unnecessarily. The Lord gave me great freedom. I spoke 3 times in the hall, on Sabbath once and twice on Sunday. 3 times during the week. The next Sabbath, by common consent, W.C. White, Sarah, and I went to Trenton, where Elder Frankie had been laboring and had created a very large stir. This is in New Jersey, and Trenton is the capital of New Jersey. Many souls have, as the result of this effort, been converted, including ministers, doctors, and deacons. The only hall they could get was small. 250 people were present. I did not know these people, with the exception of 2 or 3 of them. Elder Frankie baptized a number in the morning. Everything was prepared as it should be. The women had their baptismal robes of black made neat and plain. The administrator had his rubber baptismal custom, and also a vesper garment of black over the baptismal rubber suit. Everything was done in perfect order, with this scene done so gently, and everything passed off the best. I could speak to the people only once, but there was a gospel testimony meeting, and the most precious experiences were related. All expressed what great joy it gave them to see and to hear the good words spoken by Sister White, for it filled their hearts with joy and love. That was a most excellent meeting. We went directly from the meeting to the cars. We had been 3 hours in the meeting. It rained that day, all day. We did not get to New York City until late. Sunday was a rainstorm, tempest. I supposed there would be only a few out, but there was a good congregation of people in the hall. I spoke from 1 John 3, verse 1 to 5. Next day we left for this place, South Lancaster. That had happened unto us as I feared. We did not get to our place of rest until a late hour, and my throat was sore, and I have had difficulty. I am sick. On my birthday, I went to the sanitarium where I have 2 rooms to myself, Sarah a room by herself, and W.C. White 2 rooms for himself. We have every attention and convenience. I have taken baths hot and then toned up with cold water. It is now Sunday morning. I have spoken to the helpers and again to the patients and helpers. Sabbath day, November 30th. I spoke in the large church in South Lancaster. I did not know when I came to New York that there was the New England Union Conference to be held in South Lancaster. The urgent request of our ministers was that I should be present and act a part in their conference. I spoke a short time Thursday. The house was apparently full, but on the Sabbath, yesterday, the house was crowded to its utmost capacity. I do not know how many hundreds of people were convened. Galleries were full, and the body of the house was full. I feared that I should not be able to speak because of this severe cold, and if I could not speak, I was deciding to go straight to Nashville, Tennessee, and then to Los Angeles, then home. But the Lord helped me. I spoke alone 1 hour and then returned to the sanitarium. I always take a cold bath after speaking, and that tones up my system. Unless I do this, nervous prostration is the result. I lay down after my bath and had a sweet sleep. When I awoke, I realized the blessing of the Lord in large measure was upon me. I felt the sweet peace of God, and so happy that it was to me a little heaven below. I knew then that the Lord had honored my faith in attempting to speak. This day, Sunday, I shall speak again to the large number. There is a college here, an excellent school in South Lancaster, and a well-equipped sanitarium.
If I could only see you here.
But I dare not remain in this cold climate. It is the first real cold weather we have experienced for the last 11 years. We are making arrangements to visit in New England next year and hold several camp meetings. I can venture then, but not now. I dare not unfit myself for the accomplishing of the work in bookmaking. I have 4 editors at work all the time. 1 in preparing articles for the papers. 1 preparing articles for books on higher education. 1 is preparing other writings for the church. So you see, we may have to abide at home much of the time till we shall complete some books. We have an excellent, talented young man also as editor/stenographer. These are all under pay. The conference pays my attendant, and also Miss Maggie Hare for her editing my articles for papers. I settle the bills for the other wages, which is not a small amount. I have many books in preparation, and I must get home as soon as possible. They expect me to attend meetings in Philadelphia on my return route, and also Buffalo, and in every place they plead for us to stop and just give them a few talks. This I will try to do unless the cold weather shall forbid. Then all these side issues will have to be given up. Our room is heated by steam, and we are comfortable. I cannot bear the heat of the stove. It hurts my heart. I must now eat my breakfast. We'll finish this letter after my speaking today in our church. There was a full house. I spoke not over 40 minutes. Dr. Kellogg came to South Lancaster. He asked to speak after I had spoken for a short time. He spoke more than 1 hour, interestingly, and his words were excellent. He has so much business on hand that he could only remain until sometime in the night. He has many critical cases to attend to. I had some interesting conversation with him in regard to entering the cities without delay. He considers now is the time to work our cities, and I know this to be a fact. I am full of this matter. There have ever been many schemes devised to enter the cities by making a great display, but this is not the Lord's plan. But it has never been done. The cities must be worked. We have no time to lose, and because the money has not been laid down in sight, there has been nothing done. Elder Haskell had no support in his work. He had some help from outsiders in getting the hall. There seems to be a determination that the hall should not be hired, but it has been hired, and there have been meetings to unify discordant elements. Some are for Elder Haskell, some for Frank. They were having high times of dissension on the point. Telegrams were sent to me because I had a reproof for Elder Frank in regard to his manner of labor, for it was decidedly specified it is not Christ's example. He did not take it very well, but he began to search the testimonies. Elder Haskell could not unite with Elder Frank's manner of laboring. It ended in a telegram sent to me. I returned. Elder Frank work elsewhere. Not within a few blocks of Elder Haskell's hired hall. That night, light came. Elder Frank was presented to me as a man of God's appointment if he will learn Christ's way. And the Lord's hand was stretched out, saying, "Forbid him not. He is a man of my appointment."